Okay, now we're gonna do something a little bit different. We're going off-piste. Ready?
You have to laugh down when you're laughing. It's not natural, is it? You've a tendency to throw your head back when you're laughing, then you can't see what's going on. They should have jokes written on the roof as well, shouldn't they?
Comedian Jim Owen. Yeah. Fake laughing. Can you tell when someone's putting it on? Well, for my guest this morning, laughing is it's a scientific study. Sophie Scott is a neuroscientist, University College London. She studies how the brain produces and processes laughter. Sophie, welcome.
Hi, good morning.
What is laughter?
Laughter is more like an animal call than it is like speech. It belongs to the group of like involuntary vocalizations like screaming and growls that we might produce in quite extreme emotional situations. But it's quite an interesting one because actually we do it a lot, and we do it a lot in different social situations. So it's actually it's a little bit of old sort of mammal behavior that we do a great deal of the time, and mostly we do it for social reasons.
It's a hideously nuanced thing too, isn't it? I mean, it's incredibly complex.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a hall of mirrors.
Sorry, you made me laugh. That was a genuine laugh. Which is...
Oh, thank you.
And there we are laughing at each other, and that's kind of one of the weird things, is it not how contagious it seems to be?
Absolutely. It's Robert Provine in the US has shown that you're much more likely to laugh when you're around other people than when you're on your own. 30 times more likely to laugh when you're around other people. And very often you're simply catching that behaviour from the other people. You just pick it up from them.
In fact, if you are sitting there laughing on your own, that's probably something of a cause for concern.
certainly we all use the phrase of something was so funny, we laughed out loud, you know, just watching it at home or reading it on
true.
The bus. But, you know, we do laugh at stuff that's funny, but it is mostly actually a social behaviour. We don't realise it, we don't feel it works that way, but actually most of the laughter you're producing is just because there's other people around you, it's kind of potentiated by human contact.
How, Sophie, did you get into this line of research?
Well, I work on voices, and I'm interested, you know, exactly what we're doing now, how we talk to each other, how we understand each other. And for years, I've been interested in these funny little noises that we make, you know, when we're alarmed or when we're surprised. And as part of that, I started looking at laughter. And as soon as you look at laughter, it just kind of runs away from you because it's so unusual, it's so frequent, and it's so complex. We use it, and as you say, it's a really nuanced way. So I've just started doing more and more work on laughter simply because there's very little research on it, and it's everywhere, and it's really interesting.
Can you define types? I mean, can you categorise our laughing?
I think the main two types I'm interested in are the difference between voluntary and involuntary laughter. And I'm using voluntary there just to mean, have you got any control over it at all? So probably everybody can think of examples when you've started laughing and you could not stop. It might have even been an inappropriate situation. I was watching Strictly Come Dancing, like Dancing with the Stars on television, and somebody nearly dropped their dancing partner, and I really lost it. And I, you know, was howling with laughter. And that kind of laughter genuinely seems to come from this really kind of old vocalization network that produces these completely spontaneous involuntary sounds. And it's different from more controlled laughter. And by that, I just mean laughter that you're producing as part of a conversation where you're not deciding, well, now I'll laugh, but it's part of your communicative act. And if you look at how people laugh in conversations, they really closely time their conversation. They really closely time how they laugh with each other within that. Mm. And at some degree, that's not involuntary. So that's communicative to some degree. So I tend to call that social laughter, but you could also call it posed or fake laughter because at some level, it's not helpless. It doesn't run away from you. You can stop at any time. So those are the two that definitely seem to be out there. And, you know, maybe there's more stuff going on, but you see something like that with smiles as well. So involuntary, spontaneous smiles are different from more controlled, deliberate smiles. So there's definitely, I think, at least the potential for two different kinds of laughs out there.
And we know this, of course, for a long time to be true. I mean, the sitcom laugh track is clearly an attempt to have you mimic that amusement.
Yes, it's like a sign to you. Come on, this is funny now. This is where you laugh. And it's trying to get at that fact that you'll laugh more than there's other people around you. So they're trying to make you feel like there's as some sort of sense of an audience.
Sophie Scott studies laughter, which is hilarious. Well, actually, no, Sophie, it's deadly serious.
It is. You know, I think we should be taking it a lot more seriously. There's very, very little research into it. So if you do a literature search, you're just looking for published scientific papers, and you look for papers on fear, you'll find well over 4,000 papers, a huge amount of research on how we express and recognise fear. And there's 155 papers on laughter, and that's all of them. That's everything. That's from clinical reports through to scientific studies. And that's ever, you know, very, very few studies. So considering we do it a great deal, it's happening throughout the day. If you look, you know, next time you're in a public place, look at people talking to each other and look at how often they laugh together. You know, we're not screaming that often, but we are just not. We're not even considering it to be interesting for science.
That moment may
hopefully
be coming.
Not screaming that often. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yet, laughter—it needn't be from genuine amusement. I mean, it can be a sign of anxiety.
Absolutely. So there's very interesting work coming out of the US showing that people will try and use laughter to make situations, stressful situations, better. And if everybody concerned joins in, then it works. So if you're with your partner and there's something difficult and you both are feeling a bit awful, but you laugh about it, you will genuinely feel better. But it only works if you both do it. If one person is doing it, they won't feel better. No one will feel better. And that, I think, is at the root of a lot of nervous laughter or, you know, laughter in a difficult situation is people trying to regulate their emotional state and it's not working. So, it's actually absolutely everywhere. You'll find examples of people trying to use laughter to normalise situations. Maybe it showed that, hey, this isn't serious, guys. You know, we're just having a laugh. There was this isn't particularly pleasant. There was a horrible case of a girl who got, was, I think, arrested because she'd live-streamed on social media an assault of her friend. It was a horrible, horrible story. And one of the most awful parts of it was the young woman filming it, and she laughed all the way through. And she was, I think, trying to say, oh, you know, this is just hilarious. What's really happening isn't really happening. You know, this is funny. It's not awful. And actually, that was really jarring. It kind of made an awful thing even worse because somebody was laughing. And you get that kind of thing all the time. So I think that horrible Trump tape recently where he's saying horrible things and he's not laughing, the people in the room with him were laughing. Now, maybe they were genuinely amused. Maybe they were trying to go, oh, this sounds horrendous, but actually he's just such a card, you know. So it's a very, very common use of laughter. We'll try and use it to make a difficult situation better. And sometimes, because it really just makes things worse.
I mean, the Trump example is a really good one because, and potentially you're in there with a room with a buffoon saying something appalling, And you just don't know how to respond to that. You don't know whether you tackle them about that or laughing is that kind of escape clause, isn't it?
It is, and it's kind of saying, hey, listen, this is just a joke, you know, although he's saying the most appalling thing, and he is not laughing. This is just hilarious. This is, if you would sit there and solemnly nod along and say, yes, it is true, when you are a man of power and influence, you can do that to women. It would be, it would have a very different emotional tone, but you'd still be doing the same thing. You still wouldn't be calling him on it. So, but it would come across differently. As you say, it's like a kind of, it's a not quite get out of jail free card, but it's a way of saying, hey, none of this matters. Listen, this is just jokes. So it might sound like this is a really serious thing I should call you on, but actually I know it's fine, even if it's not fine.
I suspect we're the only species that do it.
Well, actually, no. Other animals do laugh. There's quite a lot of other laughter out there amongst mammals. So rats laugh and other apes laugh. We just haven't
looked.
Rats laugh. Rats laugh, yes. They laugh in a very similar way to us. They laugh when they're tickled and they laugh when they're playing with each other. And so it doesn't seem to be. It's probably rats don't seem to have social laughter. Rats seem to only laugh, when there's something physical going on. But if you look at chimpanzees laugh when they're tickled and they laugh when they're playing. But they actually have different laughs. If they're trying to make play last longer, if they're trying to keep up a social activity, they laugh differently than if they're being tickled. And that sounds a lot like that kind of spontaneous versus social laughter that I was talking about in humans. You seem to see something like that in chimps. There's at least the possibility they're using it in quite a complex way.
I'm imagining cows laughing for some weird reason. I don't know why.
No, I don't know. I don't know. Every time I say, oh, they would never laugh, then somebody shows me a YouTube clip of some animal being tickled, you know.
Yeah.
So it's possible. I think the problem is we haven't been looking.
The other thing I'm imagining is a room full of rats watching stand-up. But
Now, that does seem to be specific to humans. You don't seem to see laughter associated with just observing something somebody else does. So maybe that is something special to us.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, laughter may not be that, but the joke probably is the thing designed to provoke that response.
Probably. And as far as we can see, as long as humans have had language, we've been using it to tell jokes. So wherever you find examples of writing, which is what we're reliant on, you'll find jokes. You'll find things have been written down, graffiti, jokes written down on bits of papyrus in ancient Egypt. And so we've been using words to try and make people laugh forever, probably. And sometimes, you know, you can sort of think of humor as a, you know, as a whole kind of art form where there's ways of constructing jokes and stuff like that. But I think maybe also it is just a reason to get people laughing. Because if you look at how humour changes over place and time, you know, huge variations in that. So if you go back to those ancient Egyptian jokes, they are not very funny. They do not make us laugh. But the point wasn't that they should be forever, it's just for now. Yeah. That's all you need. It's something that's working here and now. And of course, that's the thing with laughter. It's there, it's immediate, it's working.
A pharaoh and a cat walk into a bar. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Just... you know, it's not even that funny. I think the thing it goes, how do you get a pharaoh to go fishing? You dress young women up in fishing nets. Is that, I mean, you know, so there we go. It's the way I tell them, you know.
Oh, hey.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff there that's not really working for us now. You, land, as they say.
You do stand-up, don't you?
I try. I mean, I don't think anybody's fooled. I think they're perfectly well aware they're seeing a scientist. I got into it as a sort of UCL, where I work in London, has this, they do this thing called Bright Club, where they get their academics to do stand-up comedy for science communication, you know,
that's
sort of
hilarious
the profile
in itself.
Of the university.
Yes.
It's great. There's always somebody going, oh, soil erosion, you know. But it's actually a very interesting kind of discipline. I've really enjoyed learning about how to even start trying to think about doing it. So, and it's made me think differently about laughter. So it's been a very, very interesting process.
Give us your best fake laugh, Sophie.
Oh! No, actually, my fake laughs are really great. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's a female gift. Sophie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Sophie Scott, she's a neuroscientist, University College London. And yes, she studies the science of laughter and does a bit of stand-up on the side. This is Sunday Extra here on RN.